Spanish town, and like I didn't even drink crazy, but you know, I ate a little bit more than usual.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, 2:28. Like first thing in the morning, 2:28. I was like, what the fuck is this?
Wait, so what did you eat?
Mardi
Gras food.
Well, no.
You like king cake, boudin?
No, gumbo, like no. I had like a biscuit from McDonald's, plain biscuit from McDonald's that morning because I wanted some kind of bread in me.
That's like 400 calories.
I know. Some Pringles.
Yeah, that's not even a chip. That's made of a potato paste.
Yes, I know. And then Allison wanted because she was drunk on the way home, so she wanted Chick-fil-A.
Mm-hmm.
And then she wanted syrups for dinner.
Yes.
8 fucking pounds. And you know, like, normally,
it's all water.
No, because like you wake up in the
that's
morning.
That's a shitload of salt all day long.
You wake up early in the morning and you're like 220 because it's first thing in the morning. And then like you get home from work and you're like, all right, let me step on the scale again. 224. All right, this is more like where I should be.
Yeah.
It was 228 that morning. It was 228 when I got home. I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, dude, I'm gonna blame that all on water. Because there's a lot of salt all day.
I felt shittier because literally all I drank was a flask.
Mm.
But I was so fucking wrecked because I get out of the car. I get there like 6 or 7 to help Jeremy finish setting everything up. I shoot back 2 5-hour energies. So now I'm full of caffeine and B vitamins because I'd only had 1 cup of coffee. So I needed some go-go juice.
Yeah.
2 5-hour energies. Nothing but caffeine and B vitamins and electrolytes flowing through my blood. And then I chugged like I had 1 flask with me. So it's like, oh, I'll just fucking down it now. And boy, does that 5-hour... You think Red Bull rushes that shit into your veins? It ain't got shit on all the B vitamins in a 5-hour energy.
The vitamins.
For just making you like amped up and fucked up. But an hour later, it's like, and I'm stone sober again. It's really good.
Heartbreaking.
It's not good for anything. It's fucking horrible. I thought I was going to die. Like, Jeremy and Adam were like, we were really worried about you. I was like, how long have y'all known me? And that worried you?
Like, you were shithoused?
Like, I was stumbling, slurring words. It fucks you up hard, but then it goes away.
Like, what size flask? You told me, like a regular 5-ounce?
Standard flask. And I did have a Jell-O shot. But unless there was acid in that Jell-O shot, sure.
It happens.
Yeah. I didn't see colors, though.
Mm-hmm.
I did taste numbers.
Happens. Hey, Sonny.
God damn you.
Sonny.
Hey, Nick.
Hey, Sonny.
I figured this was going to happen.
Sonny.
Yeah.
Welcome to Dork!
Piece of trash. I mean, hey.
I'm Nick Moore.
I'm Sonny Weathers.
And I'm Nick Moore, and you're listening to Dork, episode 142. The meaning of life. Sonny. The answer to the question of life, the universe, 42. And everything. It's 42 plus 100.
So now we're 100 times better than life.
Yes. Well, we don't know what the question is.
No. So I'm just glad that like you didn't welcome to Dork me whenever I was like bitching out my parents on the phone.
Yeah, that was a long conversation, and that's between y'all.
Yeah, well, sometimes you just gotta fucking let young people do things.
Damn it. Elderly.
Sometimes you just gotta let your 40-year-old young son build a house for you.
Well, that's the benefit of my parents moving to North Carolina.
Oh, it floods there too.
Well, I don't get the calls.
Oh.
No, they're up in the mountains. They're never gonna flood. Now they may
avalanche.
They didn't get a forest fire. Mm. There were a couple of those last summer. They were talking about how they had to close their windows at night because the smoke was blowing in through the mountains from the forest fires. Like
that seems safe.
30 miles away. Well, it just blows. Like if you think about like a valley as like the what? Bed of a river. You know, that's just where it flows. And so that's where the wind flows. And so somebody...
I thought you were going to say it's like a bellow just shooting like hot ash down on their house.
No, so like if somebody pisses in the river upstream, if you're downstream, it's going to hit you. Even though nobody's pissing on you directly, you get the after effects.
Mm.
That's a piss poor fucking analogy.
But it works. It works.
No. Yeah. So we haven't talked period in a while.
I know.
I haven't seen you. How's it going, Sonny?
Oh, I thought we were going to talk about vaginal fluids.
Okay.
So we haven't talked period in a while.
Well,
Tampax. What are your thoughts?
I find them chafy.
Delicious. I thought that's what those little boxes right there were.
No, these are...
pens.
Yeah, these are...
Ballpoint.
Yeah.
BP.
Yeah, they're the Pilot B2Ps. Actually, I talk about these a lot on the show, and they're the greatest.
I don't know if you know this or not. I'm a fan of Dork.
Yeah, well, see that? Doesn't that fit feel so nice?
It does.
That's black ink.
Of course, I don't have my pen on me. I've got a space pen.
Ooh, fence pen!
Mm-hmm. I can write upside down. I washed that bitch and then took it out and wrote on a wet receipt with it. Flawless.
That just, I think there are certain situations where you just, physics is saying, please don't write on things right now. And any situation where you're like, I need my space pen, is a situation where you need to reassess where you're at.
Well, I think I paid like $12 for it, and it's only like 4 inches long, and so I just carry it everywhere.
Hmm.
So like if I'm under a desk.
It fits in the cleft of your buttocks.
It does.
Comfortably.
You know, I can just like pull out a piece of paper and jot down anything anywhere. I never have to like get a receipt somewhere and go to sign and be like, oh, this shitty pen, I can't write on it. I can't write on this wet bar. I can't sign my receipt. No, sir. Space pen.
Yeah, I leave these here because I brought them to the office and they all got stolen. Because people are used to shitty writing utensils, Sonny. And you get one of these in your hand, you're like, oh, comfy. It's like jacking off a sandpaper and then somebody hands you a fleshlight. And you're like, oh, the world didn't have to be that way.
Until it gives you some kind of weird dick disease.
Yeah, dick disease. Dick disease.
So what are we talking about today? Do we have a topic?
No, I didn't plan on anything. Because we usually just kind of freewheel it.
It's weird because we're both sober.
That is also weird.
Mm.
Yeah, I've been behaving myself. I'm going back to the gym.
I know. I literally...
I can't do it as early in the morning as you do.
I stopped and got me a bottle of water on the way over here, and they had a New Belgian sunblazer.
Mm-hmm.
Like $2 for $5 at the Circle K, and I was like, huh, never saw a sunblazer. Wonder if Nick's ever had that. And I was going to grab a couple, and I was like, wait a minute. I think he's being have again.
Yeah, except for the weekends. And I'm off Thursday, Friday this week.
Weekends are a shit show for me, too.
Yeah.
I do meal prep Monday through Friday, and then on the weekends, it's like, all the calories!
Yeah. And like, today, I'm still working shit out. Like, today, after my workout, I grabbed a protein shake. It's chocolate. That's delicious. So I pounded that. And then, 15 minutes later, I had a V8.
One is wont to do.
Yeah. And then I burped. And it was a chocolatey V8, which is not good.
Chocolate tomato is not a...
Uh-uh. It's a fruit, but it's not a fruit you want to dip in chocolate.
Not a fruit you want to put in a fruit salad either.
No. It's salty.
I did...
Salty fruit. I mean, you're supposed to put salt on it.
I saw something that said being intelligent means knowing that the tomato is a fruit. Being smart is knowing that you don't put it in a fruit salad.
Yeah. It's a breakdown of... Well, it's kind of dorky because it's a breakdown of... D&D attributes. Somebody took the concept of the tomato and then put it in each of the D&D character attributes. You never played D&D really?
No, but I've played Ultima, and so I'm
yeah.
I have a vague understanding.
Close enough.
I understand strength and dexterity. I understand you got to work on your wood chopping skills.
I picked up Horizon Zero Dawn today. I know you're not a big gamer though. You don't have a console.
No, I'm a computer gamer when I do game. And, I've got too many obsessions right now.
Mm-hmm.
And because, that's why I didn't get the last Call of Duty, because I've been a big Call of Duty fan. But, when I get one, it's fucking on. Like, if I get something, I'm going to play it till I beat it.
Yeah.
I'm going to play it till my character levels to whatever the highest level I want him to be at is. And, that's going to be like, oh, you want to, no, sorry, I can't. I gotta chop wood this weekend, sorry. I'm trying to get my strength to 99. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I had The Witcher 3, the Wild Hunt edition, which is all the extra DLC, which is basically like three games.
DLC's a fucking...
Three 200-hour games. Jeez. Like everybody, there are people that are still playing it. It came out like 2 or 3 years ago. And people are still playing it and haven't gotten everything. So I was like, I need to get rid of this motherfucker.
Sounds to me like those folks are underachievers.
Well, I was like, I need to get rid of this because... This new one, Horizon Zero Dawn, is everybody's just like, oh God, it's the best. This is why you got a PlayStation 4. So it's like, okay, I'll get that, but I got to get rid of The Witcher because no, I can't have all this. I can't have this fucking backlog.
Right.
Just beat Watch Dogs. Watch Dogs is great. It's one of those ones where you watch and you're like, oh yeah, I totally am going to become a hacker now, and just make forklift moves.
And you didn't do that after.
No, I'm working on it. But I think there are concepts in the game that are not real. For instance, the CTOS setup they have. Basically, it is like if you IoT'd an entire city, that's what this is. And so you can hack cars
we're hacking the grid.
Exactly. You can hack cars and forklifts and everybody's phone. Like, you can basically, you walk along and you can look at everybody. You click on them and it'll say, oh, this is their name, this is their occupation, this is how much you make a year, here's a little dirty secret about them, and then you can, like, steal money from them or make their phone ring.
It's the same way Batman beat Bane, or beat the Joker in Dark Knight, where he took He took over everybody's cell phones.
Yeah, well, he sold them cell phones with the shit on it already. But kind of. But it was a fun game.
Really a hack if you fucking... That's like those... So in my line of work, we get the people who are like, "Oh, my email's been hacked." Guess what, motherfucker?
No, you open that up.
When you get that email that says, "Hey, click on this document," you type in your username and password. You didn't get hacked. You fucking gave it to them. You can't hand your wallet to a panhandler and then go, "He fucking
stole
me." No, he didn't. You literally gave it to him.
Way to go, man.
You can't invite somebody over to fuck your wife while you cry in a corner and then be like, wait a minute, this isn't what I signed up for. His dick's way too big.
It's like those Facebook quizzes I see all the time where it was like, oh, yeah, look, I'm a violet. If I were a flower, I'd be a violet. I know because it said, you know, it said, what's your favorite color? When were you born? What's your mother's maiden name? And I told it all these things, and then it told me what flower I was.
Yeah.
Also, my credit cards don't work anymore.
Yeah. And now my 401k password's been reset.
What the fuck?
I like smoking Nick. I feel like you ought to have, like, a velvet jacket on, though.
Oh, a smoking jacket?
Yes.
Probably.
You need, like, a velvet Nehru jacket.
Actually, my new groove is Carol for Valentine's Day. I really got into hoodies in the past.
This place want to smoke again.
6 months.
If you could get a velvet smoking hoodie.
Oh, that'd be so pimp. But no, I got into hoodies, and she got me one for Valentine's Day that it's a $300 Ralph Lauren polo cotton cashmere
around the house hoodie.
Yeah, it's fucking ridiculous. And she didn't pay that for it. Like, she's like, I left a tag on it because I wanted you to know how much this costs, but I did not pay anywhere near that.
She's lying to you.
No, she's an eBay fiend. What she does is she'll look for something and then misspell it and look for dumbasses that put shit up that don't spell it right so that it shows up in nobody's feed. And so she, for instance, she got a pair of...
Lauren L-O-R-E-N.
Yes, or like Manolo Blahniks, which... Nobody can spell right.
You can't.
Especially a chick who's got like 40 pairs of Manolo Blahniks. Unless she's looking at the box, she's not going to spell it right.
You got to Google that and then copy and paste.
Exactly. So that's what she does. And so I'll mention stuff to her and she'll hunt for it for months. And I've forgotten all about it and she just like gives it to me one day. I'm like, what the fuck is this? How'd you get this? She goes, you told me like last April that you wanted one of these. And so I've just been keeping an eye out and just do misspell searches and shit like that.
That's fucking love is what that is.
Yeah. It's tenaciousness.
Huh.
And plus, I mean, that's what she, that's
one time,
her groove.
One time I also pick up a dinner check for me.
Yeah? Yeah,
that's great.
Oh, fancy pants.
It's my birthday.
Yeah?
So.
Did you get what kind of toy did you get?
No, your Happy Meal. Dinner check. Oh. Well, I actually got a free whiskey that night.
Nice. Dude, I went to Curbside Burgers.
How'd that work out for you?
That was fucking great.
Yeah.
I got their regular, the bacon, American cheese, just the straight up.
The standard.
Yeah. I put nothing on it. I did not sully it with ketchup, nor mustard, sir. 'Twas beautiful. Loved it. They have that like candied bacon that they make.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I bought a jar
of their pickles, too. They have their spicy pickles.
That's what I've heard, that their pickles don't last long.
No, I got a jar of them at my house, and they're fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, I did not sully it. I got their regular fries. They were fantastic. That's what I've heard. We're going back. All
right, well,
and we ordered the chili vanilla, which was supposed to be like a minty shake, but they brought us the one that had like rum chata and chocolate chips. And we finished like halfway through it before I was like, you know, there's no mint in this. It's supposed to be a mint shake, but you know what? I don't care. And we killed it. It was delicious. And so the manager came by. He's like, hey, how's it going? It's like, it's great. He goes, how was your shake? I was like, it was delicious. It wasn't even what we ordered, but it was so good.
We don't
care. And he goes, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm like, no. Let me make it clear to you. This is a compliment. We got the wrong thing, and it was delicious. Thank you. you opened our eyes. Otherwise, we would have just gotten the mint one, because we both like mint chocolate chip ice cream. So we would have got the same dumb thing every time. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And this was like a whole other world. So we're just going to try all of them. But he's like, eh, you know, we want you to leave happy. I'm like, oh, I'm happy, motherfucker. I'm coming back. So he came by the table and he gave us a card that said one free chili vanilla shake. And their shake, it's an $8.50 shake. Worth every goddamn penny.
See, and here's another thing I like about them. Well, I like it and I hate it about them.
What?
They, you know, they got a bar section there. And I might have talked about this on Registick, but there's two really... It's average price bourbons that are really good, but they're just ridiculously hard to find because everybody wants them. One of them is Weller 12-year and one of them's Weller Antique. You cannot buy them in any fucking store in this city unless, like, you know, the secret handshake and blowjob the dude that owns this one store, you know, your buddy.
What's it, like one or two bottles a store? Like they
get like six.
Or?
It's one of them that comes out once a year. And, like, if I wanted to drive to Jackson, I could fucking Mississippi. I go into a Circle K and probably get it. But just in Louisiana, for some reason, it's hard to come by. And if I want to go to Texas, I can get it all over the place, too. But just here, it's hard to fucking find. But if I go in the cheeseburger place on Government, they got a bottle of each. There's six fucking cheeseburgers and tater tots on the menu. And they got both these bottles that I can't find anywhere.
That's a good restaurant.
It is. But that's the reason, like, bars get most of it is because the people that own Weller also own Pappy Van Winkle, which is the end-all be-all of bourbon. And so if you want to sell Pappy, you have to move so much of their other product first before they will sell you Pappy, because Pappy's it's what everybody wants.
Yeah.
And so you got to prove that you can move their merchandise regularly. So to help them along,
it's like working for the fucking Colombians.
Look, every time I go in there, I'm like, well, I'll have a cheeseburger, some tater tots, and why don't you pour me a Weller 12-year neat? Thank you, sir. It did hurt my heart, though, because Allison wasn't a fan. She's weird about burgers. She's a fan of burgers. She just wasn't.
Just period?
Not a fan.
She didn't like the Smash-style burger?
She likes Smash Burger, which I wasn't a huge fan of.
See, because that's... There's some people that
I think likes it all smashed down, and I like a neat patty.
See, I can go either way.
I can too, but I expected more from Smashburger. Fair. And if I'm going to go to Smashburger, I'm going to go. If I'm right there, I'm going to Five Guys.
Well, right now, there are so many good burger joints. Yeah, yeah. You don't need to settle for shit.
Yeah, and I was going
to
say, and if she doesn't like it, hey, fine with me. I'll just go by myself. Mm-hmm. I would suggest their lamb burger.
That's my next swing.
It's a mild feta on there. Normally, I prefer a little sharper feta.
Mm-hmm.
But they
use the mint jelly.
Mm-hmm. And what's it? Oh, the fucking barbecue. The barbecue burger's good. And then they got one that comes like a little fucking cup of French onion soup you can dip your burger in.
Yes, it's like a French onion burger. It's got the
Mac Attack.
It's got the little crisp on it. It's got grilled onions and a little thing of French onion.
Literally,
au jus.
I went there when we were doing Spanish Town, our float meeting. I went there and I got the lamb burger, and it was amazing. But the whole time I was like, boy, you know, that Knack Attack the other day was so delicious, because I got the Knack Attack the first time I went, because I'd had it when, or I had something similar to that whenever they still had the truck. And the whole time I was like, boy, could have got that Knack Attack. Well, it looks like I'm just going to be eating two burgers tonight.
Yeah, I want to move down their whole menu, except I'm skipping the turkey burger.
It's not bad.
I don't want not bad. Like, I see the other shit on their menu. I want that. I may do it just to, like, round out my ticket, but...
Yeah, you know what? I had a bite of it, because somebody else had one, and I gave them a bite of mine and took a bite of theirs.
They call it the East Coast.
Yes.
That's what it is. So it's ground turkey, avocado, and shit.
If you want to try a weird kind of vegan-y burger... There's a new spot on Jefferson.
I don't.
Hear me out first.
Okay.
Hear me out. You know where the D'Angelo's used to be on Jefferson? Big D'Angelo's.
Yeah.
And Red Stick Spice was in there. At the end of that plaza, the opposite end from King's Walk, which is the fucking best shitty Chinese takeout place in this city.
Yeah, I know.
The other end of the plaza, a little new spot called Eliza. And it's the same size as that Subway on the other end, so it ain't big. Mm-hmm. So if you want to go at lunch, you better be there at 11. Because by like 11:20, it's walls full.
It's Burger Joint?
No, it's just, they have a good burger there. They have a burger that's half beef and half sausage.
Okay.
And it's pretty damn good. But they have, it's a vegan-y, burger-y thing. They have red beans and rice there. They take their red beans and rice, form it into a little patty, and then put it on the grill after it's cooked to crisp it up in patty form, and then they put that shit on a burger. They also have a really good pulled pork po' boy over there. It's pretty fucking good. Crawfish and spinach dip, house-made chips. I love any fucking place that'll just be like, you know what we did in the back? We made some potato chips for you while you wait. Bistro Byron's does that shit,
yeah,
too. Yeah,
they do their chips and put cheese and shit on them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a fan.
And I like Beausoleil because you go in there and like, hey, I know you've been to a spot and they were like, hey, we made you some potato chips. They're like, we're making fucking pork skins in the back and we're just going to put a basket of pork skins on the table for no reason.
I like that. I like that they do that.
It's classy. It's what that is.
One of the guys that used to work at... Oh, goddamn.
And then
Jubin's.
Everything is city pork. It's just ridiculous. Yeah, all their locations.
One of the guys that used to work at Jubin's opened up a place in Brevard, North Carolina. And when I was up there, he does the same thing. He's like, here's some fucking cracklings for you. Dive in. Just for the table.
I ordered for the table.
Yeah. And he did... it was one of those places where you could get bone marrow.
Mm.
Where you get the little bits of bone marrow. And he did it with like raspberry. Yeah. Yeah, and he put like raspberry and like a balsamic over the top of it. Sick. Fucking yummy. I don't know what I'm making for dinner tonight, but it's going to be bad for me. Because I got to go to the store. I'm going to do it with this fucking conversation in my head.
This is why you need to do meal prep. Or go back to curbside.
Yeah.
Hey, just FYI, it is Fat Tuesday.
It is Fat Tuesday, but I'm a Buddhist, so it doesn't really...
I'm not fucking Catholic. It doesn't mean anything to me.
I'm a Louisianian.
I was going to say, my excuse for Fat Tuesday was like, all right, we're going to go to Taco Chops and get some delicious tacos and an amazing margarita.
Yeah, Kira's got rehearsal tonight. She may come home and have tacos there. She'll be like, what is that? Yeah, you're welcome.
Are we just going to talk food this whole time? Because, man, fucking Taco Chops.
What is this joint?
Taco Chops is, you know where Hickory Ridge Subdivision is on Corsi?
Yeah.
Right at the front of that, there's a little plaza with the Pizza Hut. Is that the Pizza Hut you go to, or you go to the one over here on Sherwood?
I go to the one on Jefferson at Bluebonnet.
Okay. So on Corsi, right past Stumberg, the Winn-Dixie and all that, there's a little plaza at the front of Hickory Ridge Subdivision. And there's a little place called Taco Chops, and it's about the size of your murder shop.
Okay.
And I don't understand how they're... Well, we went there for lunch today, and it was packed. But, like, we'll go there for dinner sometimes, but, of course, we, like... Fucking old folks, like, oh, it's 5
4 o'clock.
Yeah, 5 o'clock, let's get some dinner. So there's always, like, us and, like, one other old couple in there. So I was like, man, I don't understand how he's staying open. But I preach it to everybody. He's got fish tacos.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of fish tacos.
He's got pork chop tacos, chorizo tacos, brisket tacos. And you have your choice of corn or flour tortillas that they're making in the back.
Oh, they got one of those, like, presses. They got a little old lady.
Yeah. His mom.
Ah!
And, like, this is how Mexican they are. Their car has the Mexican license plates on it.
Okay, I have faith in this place.
Yeah. Now, I've heard they're like, oh, their fish taco is not traditional because it's lightly fried fish. You know what that makes it? Delicious.
Yeah. Literally, that's fine.
I've been through every taco on their menu, and it's fucking great. Allison says their guacamole is ridiculous. I don't eat guacamole, so I don't know. I know their queso is pretty good. I know their salsa is good because I like a smooth blended salsa, and they do that. They make their own chips in the back too. Best fucking margarita I've ever had.
Yeah, see, I'm not a huge margarita guy.
So if Allison drinks a margarita, she wants it to be like strawberry and frozen and all this crazy shit. She doesn't like a standard rocks margarita. When we go there, the only thing she will order is the standard rocks margarita. Because this dude is back there with high-end tequila and agave and a fuck ton of lime. That he is just... Like, you order a margarita, it's going to take him 8 minutes to get it to you. Because there ain't no bottle of mix. He's back there cutting and squeezing limes and making you a real margarita with tequila
like
and agave.
Like Hemingway style.
Yeah. It's tequila, agave, and lime juice. And it's fucking good.
Well, I have to give it a swing. Yeah, we got turned on to King's Walk.
I fucking love King's Walk.
Maybe 6 months ago. Like, I passed by and I was like, wait, there's a little Chinese restaurant back there. So we popped in, because we've been going to China One on government.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, China One is like your cookie cutter, shitty Chinese takeout.
Well, whichever one you go to, they all have the same pictures of the food on the wall. Like,
well, there's a reason for that.
I've never been in a place that doesn't have those same pictures.
There's a reason for that.
Are they all made in one spot?
Yes. If you, there's a documentary called Searching for General So, or Finding General So, one of those. Just Netflix and type in General So. And it's like, so where the fuck did this General So's chicken come from? It in China, because they don't fucking know. They go to China with a picture of General So's chicken. And they're like, hey, where can I get this? And they're like, we have no fucking idea what that is. That's not, what is that? Is that like ground, is that meatballs? What the fuck? Nobody has any fucking clue.
But did they like bring it over to them and be like, hey, you ought to try this. This is your national cuisine in America.
They had somebody throw something together. And they're like, yeah, go for it. And people are like, no, it's really sweet and fried. What is that? That's not... not Chinese food. Like Chinese food, I know Chinese food. I know real Chinese food because I work with five Chinese guys who every day around lunchtime, one of them, and it randomizes, one of them goes into the kitchen and nukes a dirty diaper and then eats it over rice. And that's Chinese food. Like, you ever been walking through the woods and you see that like jelly looking fungusy thing? Mm-hmm. It's wood ear fungus. It's all wet and gross.
Mm-hmm.
They put that on rice.
Sounds delicious.
Yeah. Now, every now and then, you know, they'll nuke something. You're like, oh, that smells fucking good. And like, oh, yeah, that's good. But they, for the most part, you know, their food is rice and then something on top of rice. Rice every day.
Yeah. How are they not fat with all these carbs?
Because they balance it out.
Oh.
Plus, they've been genetically bred to eat rice in large amounts for tens of thousands of years.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's true. Rice and corn is all new to us.
Yeah. Our fat ass is like, no, meat and the bones of brown people. That's pretty much what we survived on.
Jesus. That's harsh.
That's what we are. We're awful.
I've never eaten a brown people.
Well, I mean, I haven't, but my ancestors.
Down on one. I don't think that counts.
No.
I'm assuming you mean Indian, right?
Well,
I don't
all, know. Most of them. Like, as soon as we got bored with killing each other, we're just like...
I'm talking about the one I went down on.
But yeah. So anyway, they try and figure out where General So's came from. And spoilers, it was Taiwan. And it was a political statement. You'll have to see to get the whole backstory on that. But while they're doing it, they explore the growth of Chinese restaurants in the United States. And if you immigrate from China to the U.S., you go through like this processing point that the that has been set up here for forever, where basically they help integrate Chinese people into the U.S. economy.
They just give you those flashcards.
They do. They like go like, would you, you know, you like basically it's like, do you want to open a nail salon, a laundry, or a Chinese restaurant? Okay, this place needs a Chinese restaurant. Here's your kit. And they just set you up. It costs
You're
like
move to Dubuque.
Yeah, it costs nothing. It costs nothing to get one of these joints rolled up because they got a goddamn kit, and everything is the same shit. It's you cook it in a wok. You throw them a little thing of rice. You add whatever sauce. They have these big bug like, you know that you get like vinegar or laundry detergent or whatever in a big big bottle. That's what
There's
the sauce
a Costco
is.
Costco for Chinese restaurants.
Exactly. It's like, this is teriyaki. This is General So's. This is sweet and sour. This whatever. And so here's your card. It's like if you've ever bartended in at a Bennigan's or a TGI Fridays, whatever. There's a little card that says, what's in this? Okay, it's right there. Blam. Not even Mr. Boston's. It's like, it's just like a little flash card. There was a episode of The Simpsons where Bart ends up bartending for the mob.
I remember that.
Yeah, and one of them orders a Rob Roy, I think. And he like looks at the flash card and just wipes the dust off it. And he's like, ah, and he throws it together. He's like, yeah, that's great. That's all it takes. All right, that's the Chinese restaurant industry for the most part. Those motherfuckers at King's Walk have
They're doing it
twisted
different.
Up. They have this stuff called Singapore Mei Fun, which is rice noodles. Now, their Mei Fun is good. It's rice noodles, and they throw whatever meat in it. And normally, Mei Fun is that. It's rice noodles, and they throw, like, everything else. Here's your rice. Throw beef and broccoli on it, or whatever. The Mei Fun, they add a little bit of the seasoning to it. Singapore Mei Fun is like Chinese jambalaya. Like, they take everything, all the meats, and then they throw in a bunch of spice, and they toss all that shit together, and it's goddamn delicious. Mm. So, do that, you'll get three meals out of it. But everything else they do is also fucking perfect.
I was going to say, when we go, Allison likes the...
It's like a Chinese Bob's Burgers, because Tina's working the front. I don't know if... Their daughter's working the front, and she's just always like, yeah,
like,
what do you want?
I just want to be like, isn't this illegal?
It's family restaurant, you know, and but their little girl working the front, she's got the glasses. She is she's Tina all the way. She's like, yes, what can I do for you?
I was gonna say, even like just like sometimes you're like, is this bitch giving me a little attitude?
Yes. Like, so she's busy. She doesn't give a shit.
Yeah. Oh,
she's not rude, but she doesn't have fucking time for your shit.
She's like, oh, I'm sorry. I have to go back to getting my second diploma. While I should still be in middle school,
she's also working
84 hours a week.
She's doing college courses with one hand, ringing up your order with the other.
And somehow taking care of the little boy that's running
around
there.
Yeah, he's always there! The little kid's always back there. Usually he's got his iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
And he's playing the Japanese version of...
I might need King's Walk tonight.
Yeah. I might surprise girl with that, too.
See, we go over there, and like Allison's... She's like, I want the sesame chicken... With the rice and egg roll. She wants a little dinner thing.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, God, this is just too much rice for me. I'll just get the small beef and broccoli and the small sesame chicken.
What the fuck?
Well, I don't eat it all. I mean, technically, I probably could just get the small beef and broccoli and eat that.
Yeah.
And then eat the chicken that she doesn't eat. But then I can just eat the chicken that she doesn't eat the next day.
As a thinking man, you're planning ahead, Sonny.
God damn. King's Walk. Mm-hmm. It might happen. It might have to happen. She called an audible for lunch. Maybe I can call one for dinner.
No, don't even call it. Just go home with it. Just appear. Just appear with it, Sonny.
She might cut me.
Nah. No. You walk in with the egg rolls. She's like, what is that? Egg roll! And throw it. She'll catch it with her mouth.
Especially if I go in and I'm like, this is Singapore Mei Fun. She'll
Dude.
Be like, I don't even know what that is.
If you haven't tried it, it is delicious. No, let it happen. You're going on a cruise. Just sink into it like a warm bath, Sonny.
Just open a vein.
Uh-huh. Take a bath, open a vein. Say goodbye to your family. Have a nice meal. Sink into your, what is it, your third cruise this year?
This will be my first one this year.
How many do you have planned?
Just one.
Just the one?
I like to plan them one at a time. Although I do really want to go to Cuba this year.
That'd be nice.
Because, you know, they're starting to cruise there now.
Mm-hmm.
And I was telling Allison, I was like, the next one we do, I'd like to hit Cuba. And she was like, I got no desire to go to Cuba. And I was like, no. We want to go to Cuba before they, like, cruise line Cuba.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, because the first time I went to the Bahamas, when we're pulling up in the Bahamas, I was like, what the fuck? This is before me and Allison were together, because like you're pulling up in Nassau and like you see a Hard Rock,
yeah,
and a fucking
Burger Senior
King,
Frogs,
Starbucks,
and KFC.
it's like really, I'm pulling into the Bahamas and literally I can see the Hard Rock Cafe. Okay, this is gonna suck, but we get off the ship and you walk over like a block, and there's this giant market. It's like a covered building, but it's all, you know, it's just a roof and like posts on the corner, and there's people in there fucking weaving blankets. There's people in there carving stuff. This is like 2003, I think, and so cruising wasn't as huge as it is now. It was still big business, but it wasn't where like they had taken over all the ports yet.
Yeah.
And it was just real shit, like real, you know. You walk through there, and like, this was their life's thing, was making whatever it was they were making. Like, people were hand rolling cigars in there. And so I was so excited 10 years later when we went back to the Bahamas, and I was, you know, it was us and two other couples, and I was like, man, wait till we get to Nassau. This fucking market is amazing.
It's been a decade.
Awesome.
Gone.
And so we get off and we walk into the market. And there's a lady sitting at the front, and she's got, like, some yarn and, like, some needles that she's moving back and forth. but there's all these blankets on the table behind her. And then the next booth over, there's fucking identical blankets. And then you go to the back where it's the guy's wood carving, and there's
he's got like the one piece that he's working on all day.
There's like six dudes, you know, in front of each little booth, and boy, they're just whittling on this one thing. But it's the same fucking figures. And I was like, oh no, they fucking ruined it. They fucking ruined it.
They turned it into McDonald's.
Yeah. And so I was like, I want to go to Cuba while it's still, you know, while it's still Havana. I want to go to Havana while it's still Havana. I don't want to go to Norwegian Cruise Lines Presents Havana.
Yeah.
Or Carnival's Little Havana Port Shops, where it's the same shirt they got in Cozumel, but it says Havana on it.
Yeah, you need to just fly. Just fly to Havana.
But I like being on my ship.
Because it's gonna happen. But you gotta move into the city. It's like when we went to Athens or to Rome, or you know, we're on a cruise ship, but if you move far enough away from port, you get into the city quick.
And look, I'm willing to do that in Cozumel. Because Cozumel has been around long enough that people feel safe to walk through the city of Cozumel.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that shit in Belize, though.
Yeah.
Because you better Belize, your white ass will get murdered.
Hey, gringo!
And that's what I'm saying. Like, if you go to Havana right now on a cruise ship, they're going to have like a little area like, hey, this is where we swept out a lot of the murderers, so feel free to wander around here while it's still kind of Cuba-y. But you don't want to go like three blocks that way into Cuba yet. They hadn't had enough freedom yet.
Well, I mean, Cuba hasn't been. I mean, they've been.
They ain't seen a lot of me yet.
No, well, they've been, you know, under communism for a long time, but like they've opened free trade a while back. You know, they get the concept.
Right.
It's not completely foreign to them, and they're also, you know, some very well educated motherfuckers.
Yeah, but I want to go while there's still a bunch of old cars there too.
Oh yeah, they haven't. That's always going to be there, man. That's part of fucking Cuba.
Yeah,
that and Guantanamo.
I was going to say it's part of Cuba until Toyota's like, hey, let's put a Scion factory here.
Yeah,
and we'll build you some $8,000 cars, and they're like, fuck yeah.
Or Tata.
They're like, you mean I don't have to keep working on this 70-year-old Pontiac?
That's going
to
be heartbreaking, though.
That's what I'm saying. I want to be there before that shit's gone. I was trying to explain that to Allison, but her mom and them want to go, so I'm thinking we can just work this into a family.
Are you
trip.
A big? Are you into rum at all?
Is it liquor?
Yes.
Then yeah.
Yeah, Cuba will make you fall in love with it.
I do love a good rum.
Yeah,
I've had Cuban rum before.
Cuban rum is very good. Wait, Cuban cigars are okay.
Unrecord this.
What?
Is it legal for me to have Cuban rum?
It depends where you go. If you've been on a cruise, you've been somewhere. More than likely,
yeah.
You've been somewhere
yeah,
legal.
I did have it. I've also had their cigars.
Yeah, it's
when,
all right.
When I used to smoke, it was actually the last cigar I smoked, and my dad smoked. I'm not going to say I rebranded some cigars and brought them in from Cuba.
Swapped out the rings?
Yeah, well, that's all anybody cares about. It's like, oh, you can't have the ring on there.
No,
but apparently
yeah.
That's what, like, fancy people are like, well, if it doesn't have the ring, I'm like, who gives a fuck? Does it change the flavor of the cigar?
Dumbass. No, you swap out the boxes.
So I bought a fucking box of Roy Tans and filled it with Cubans.
Yeah.
And brought them back in, and me and my dad smoked Cuban cigars together.
And you better swap it out. You better swap out all the rings, too, because they'll check them.
Yeah, I didn't give a fuck. I tore them off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look at this. It's just some generic.
Because we saw that happen with a dude.
These are some Have a Tampa Blunts I picked up.
Yeah. They confiscated all of them. And oh, you could see all those guys at the port were just like, yeah, I'm afraid we're going to have to throw these away, sir.
We're going to have to throw these into this velvet-lined shopping bag so that they don't get damaged in case we need them for evidence later at our poker game.
I'm going to go tuck that somewhere in the back of my car, sir. It's like all that shit that the TSA steals from you.
Mm-hmm. That's like this. One of the ports we're hitting this time is Jamaica, which... Unless you're doing an all-inclusive, don't fucking get off the boat in Jamaica anymore. Just don't.
Is it like that bad?
Yeah.
Like just dirty? Fucking yardies everywhere?
It's...
Dude, there are dreadlocks and machetes?
So what happens is, you know, the other ports... Now, you know, there is something to say for the Norwegian Cruise Line / Carnival Cruise Line presents Cozumel. It's clean, it's safe, and, you know, like, even whenever you leave the port area, there's a perimeter you can go to where everybody's like, all right, these are fun, these fun to everybody. We'll be cool. When you go to Jamaica, there ain't none of that shit at the ports. There ain't no Carnival t-shirt shop anywhere.
Yeah.
Because in Jamaica, they tell everybody, like, oh, no, you're lucky we let your ship stop here. They got that attitude, and they're like, so we're going to do the fuck we want, and you're just going to take it if you want to stop your ships here.
Yeah.
And some people are like, but I want to go to Dunn's River Falls. So the cruise lines are like, well, fuck, I guess we just got to take it in the ass in Jamaica over here. Literally every time I've been to Jamaica and like, gone anywhere in the city, I'm like, oh, boy, I need to... I gotta be back at the ship in just 7.5 hours. I better get back there now. I don't want to miss the rush.
That sounds like Martinique,
dude.
Like, Martinique is the island where the cruise director the night before is like, okay, so tomorrow's Martinique, and we really suggest that you enjoy the ship. It's a good day to kind of, you know, we'll have everything open, and you know, we're gonna have a couple shows during the day, some buffets.
Yes.
Just chill out on the ship because Martinique doesn't like you.
Yeah,
they don't like us. Yeah. They just, we were just letting you know.
Yeah, when I was 25 or 20, whatever, that first cruise I went on, when I went to the Bahamas, we did a stop in Jamaica, and I was young and stupid and drunk and high as fuck, and I told my cab driver, he's like, you want to see tourist Jamaica or you want to see real Jamaica? I was like, fucking take me to real Jamaica. And about 30 minutes later, I was like, I think I've had just about enough real Jamaica. You know, when he tells you, like, he's like, okay, I can take you this far, but we got to turn around. Because if I take you through that part of Jamaica, they'll kill us both. And I believe him because, I mean, you know, he's giving me the weed that I'm smoking. So yeah.
And he's missing an ear.
He seems like a good dude. Like, he's driving like a lunatic. He drives like me. Like, he's cutting people off. He's like, hey, motherfucker, your blood clot. He's just fucking yelling shit out the window. And, like, I'm tapping him on the shoulder. He's looking over. I'm passing him the joint back. It's fucking, you know. So... That was enough Jamaica for me. Now I get off, I go into the port, I go into their port building, I pick up a few bags of coffee, get the fuck back on the ship. Thank you, I'll be here getting a massage, because I get a half-price massage on a port, sign me up.
Amen.
I'll take that two-hour massage, I got my coffee, and we can roll out this bitch.
So, I was over in your neck of the woods yesterday.
You're in my neck of the woods right now. We live like a mile apart.
Well, I'm at your business.
Oh.
I'm going to corporate, and I'm going to take a left on college.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's a little rainy. I'm in the right lane. We get toward that. You know how you pass Izzo's and Barnes & Noble and all that shit, and you get to where all the offices are. And after that first light... the guy in front of me is in a black Mustang GT. All of a sudden, slams on his brakes to take a right. No signal, nothing.
Of course not. Why would he?
So I switch into the left lane. Right in front of a big white Suburban. Okay. There was plenty of room. The lady was trying to cut me off. So she got mad that I didn't let her cut me off. But, you know, I'm not going to rear in this car. So
yeah.
You're going to have to just deal with your shit. So I'm in the left lane. Get up to where all the cars are stopped for the light, you know, and so when you're taking a left, everybody wants to get in the left lane so they can get on the interstate. So that right lane that's turning left is pretty much empty. So she passes me on the right lane, far right lane, honking her horn, just leaning on it as she passes me by. And then gets over to the left lane. So I pull around and I get right next to her.
Mm.
And we're stopped at the light. And that's a long light. So I pull up next to her and she starts just, I could see her mouth moving. She's got a white Suburban. Got a little soccer ball sticker on the back. Hunter.
Apparently, she's a good example for Hunter.
Indeed. She's overly bleached, heavy set.
Let me guess, she wouldn't put that window down, though.
She did.
Oh.
She did. But I just went ahead and moved forward. So I was just sitting there. She creeped up next to me and kept going. So I rolled down my window. And I turned my head to the left. And I looked at her with just no expression on the face. And she's like, you need to learn how to drive because you almost caused me to wreck. Just made me to wreck there. So you need to watch it. Asshole. And I just did not turn my head. I just looked at her with no expression. So that, now that's a technique from the haunted house,
where just the stare.
Yeah, if you talk to people, it creates something they can react to. If you just stare, people hate that shit so much it just drives them up the wall, and they're not ready for it. And your average human being, even in a high stress situation in traffic, right? They're going to honk and scream because they're safe in their car, and they're not used to confrontation. They avoid it every possible way they can. So they expect they're going to just yell at you and be like, aha, I told that guy. But she can go nowhere. So I just keep looking at her. I don't say anything. Nothing. I don't brandish my knife. I just stare at her, expressionless.
Don't brandish your knife unless I get out the car.
Yeah. I'm expressionless. Just looking at her. Not staring even. Just looking at her like she's a tree or a bowl of figs. Just.
You're admiring some postmodern shit art.
Exactly. And so she, like, you know, she puts it up. She looks at me for like 5 seconds, tries to hold the stare. Cannot. And she, like, waves. She's like, ha, ha, ha. Just like a little grin. Ha, ha. No. Nothing. Just keep going. So she looks out her window. You can see her head kind of go, me, me. But that window rolls up. And I stayed there for what seemed like 5 minutes, which is a very, very long time to have a stranger you yelled at just staring look at you
just with expressionless. Looking through you. Just looking through you.
So that's my advice. If you ever get in that situation, don't yell, don't scream, don't make empty threats. Just look.
So this is you're a better man than me, because once you said that window came down, like I know you've heard
he would have spit into it.
I know you've heard me clear my throat a few times. my phlegm reflex just started building up in me as soon as you said that window was down. Because I have done that before. You put that window down to yell at me, guess what's coming through? Guess what's coming through?
I didn't even think about it.
But I'll do the same thing on the phone. Like, whenever I have somebody who's angry, I'll just... Silence is something people hate.
Mm.
I'll do that on the phone. They'll go, oh, hey. Like, you know, they'll get transferred to me. And I go, this Sunday, can I help you? And oh, hey, how's it going? And I just go, you know, my standard, I'm good. And then there's silence.
Because
what will happen is they're like, oh, I'm good. And then they realize, oh, fuck, he didn't ask me. I'm an asshole. He's already won this argument. Or I will just sit there. And that's one of the good things that my boss taught me. He's like, don't be afraid of silence, you know? So he'll, like, I'll throw something out. I'll be like, did you try what we asked you to try? And they're like, well, I didn't, not yet. And they're just waiting for me to be like, well, could you try it? Nope. I'm going to sit there. Yeah, I don't give a fuck. It could be 45 seconds. I'm on salary, man. I got nowhere to be. I can sit here in silence until you start talking. Oh, you started talking? Guess what? You lost this argument. Your point's already invalidated. Sorry, sir. Try again. But you put that fucking window down and yell at me, there's going to be some snot coming in. It was even better whenever I smoked, because on several occasions, when we were doing shows at Swamp Mama's at Reshoes, and Swamp Mama's had their delicious pizza still.
Mm.
I went to Swamp Mama's one night to get pizza to bring back to Reshoes, and I was crossing Florida right there at 3rd, and a guy, he comes through the red light, and, like, I had the right of way, and he almost hits me, and he starts yelling at me, and his old lady's in the car, and he puts the window down, and he's screaming and cussing at me, and I just turned around and went, fuck you, and I threw my cigarette right through the window, and it bounced off of him and landed in her lap, and she's fucking screaming and yelling, and he's trying to fucking get it out the car, which isn't in park yet, so now he's rolling down the street, and you know, just went on about my business. God, it was so much better when I smoked.
It's always nice to have that little lit piece of fuck you in your hand.
Snot's a good second, but man, there's nothing like
fire,
flame, and death.
Yeah, I was going down Burbank once, and I flicked a cigarette out the window, and it came right back in. And went to the back seat of my car. I had this little Corolla at the time, and it went right in the back seat. So I pull over, and I'm digging around in the back seat. Trooper pulls up behind me, and he gets on the mic. He's like, "Hey, you all right?" I poke my head up. I'm like, yeah, I flicked a cigarette and went in the back seat, and he just started laughing and drove off. He's like, yeah, it's your problem. It's your problem, dumb shit.
I got into a wreck once. It was my junior year of high school. And I'd had my Letterman's jacket for wrestling for like maybe 3 or 4 months. And I'd lit a cigarette, and I'm driving down Florida Boulevard, and I get rear-ended. And it was a bad wreck. It was like, you know, six cars, like they all hit each other. And then, you know, this guy hits me and then goes off into the ditch because it's raining. And then the 18-wheeler that had just hit him and pushed him into me hits me. And at some point, I lost my cigarette. And so we are standing out there. It's about 3 minutes after the wreck. And I was like, I go to light a cigarette. I was like, I fucking just lit a cigarette. Oh, my God, where's that fucking cigarette? And there's a cigarette burn hole right square in the back middle underneath my name on my Letterman's jacket. Ugh. Oh, son of a bitch. Try telling your parents you don't smoke after that one.
Somebody else is a dick.
I think they already knew that. I'm pretty sure they knew I was smoking when I was 14. You think you're hiding shit and they're just like, what? No. Anyway. That's my story. That's my smoking stories. Talk about more things when we used to be cool back in the day.
Well, I'm creeping up on 40.
I'm rear-ending it right now.
Yeah.
I'm about halfway down the shaft into 40.
And when I was a kid, 40 was when they would have the party with like the vultures and shit.
Mm-hmm. Lordy, lordy, Nick is 40. The big sign in your front yard.
Yeah, I still got a couple years, so yeah. Carol's about to hit 42, and if she heard me say that, she wouldn't care. She's 40. She's gonna be 42. Yeah.
Own that shit.
Yeah,
she looks phenomenal.
Yeah, like, that's what I tell her. I'm like, you don't look 40. I don't know what you're bitching about. Like, I know chicks in the 30s that look rough.
Yeah,
you know, I know chicks in their 20s that look rough.
Yeah,
you're very lucky.
Well,
so you know, that shit.
I had that same conversation at work the other day because there's a guy. Like, I've been in my job for, April's going to be 11 years. And there's a guy who was there whenever I got there. And I was like, man, he looks like a fucking adult with his shit together. And this was 11 years ago. And I found out his birthday is 2 weeks before mine. And I was like, oh, how old are you going to be? He was like 39. I was like, you fuck no. No, I'm going to be 39. Like, you were my adult. Like, you were the guy I was trying to be. I got 2 weeks to get my shit together. But, you know, just some people look like they're an adult.
Yeah.
And I've never felt like
I'm a lot of them play teenagers in the 80s.
Yes. Yes. I was like, man. But I think that's part of it, too. But, like, if you ever look at, like, a college baseball team from the 50s, you're like, he looks like a fucking senator. He's 19, and he looks like he ought to be running a country.
Yeah, that's because when he was 15, he faked his driver's license so he could join the war.
Yeah.
He killed, like, 50 Germans, and he came back. He's like, you know what? Let's get that college degree now.
It's just fucking weird. And whenever I told other people at work, I was like, yeah, me and him. I was like, he's just 2 weeks older than me. And even other people were like, what the fuck? Like, I was like, I know I don't look like I'm in my 20s, but I got to feel like I don't look like I'm 40 yet.
The beard doesn't help.
Well, the beard is okay, especially since it's blonde, but that big hunk of gray in it.
I don't know. I don't notice the gray, but I just see, like, if I go a week without shaving, I don't get carded. But once I shave at all, I'm fucked, man.
Oh. If I shave,
I look like I'm 10.
If I shave, I can pass for, like, one of the interns at work. Like, somebody'd stop me and be like, hey, go get me a cup of coffee. Like, what? Bitch, I'm your boss.
Yeah, I don't know. But Carol doesn't let me really... She doesn't like facial hair on me. It's weird. I get it.
That's because you're handsome.
Well, I tried to...
Allison was like, yeah, a beard, grow it longer.
Yeah,
longer.
Fill all this up.
Could you get it to go from your eyes to your chin?
Yeah, we can fluff out those eyebrows, maybe get your ear hair out. Just get all of that. And let what your hair you've got grow out and comb it.
Oh, no, she does not want that. She wants it all over my face. None on my head. She's like, I've seen those pictures. No.
None of that. I have seen a couple of Sunny with hair pictures.
Look, if you know, if I hit that Mega Million tonight, there's going to be like some serious, I'll be like, look, I want hair again, but I want it to be fucking good hair. Like, It ain't going to be... Like, Donald Trump should have the best fucking hair in the world, and he just doesn't.
He should know how to tie a goddamn tie.
Yeah.
And he doesn't.
Or...
He should know how to cook a goddamn steak, and he doesn't.
Or he ought to have somebody that ties a tie for him.
Yeah.
Like, he ought to have a guy whose job it is to just, here, put my tie on, tie it, now loosen it up, put it over my head, cinch it under my collar.
Like a big boy. Yeah.
He should, one of his, because you know they got body doubles of the president, so there's somebody his height, so you know they know where that fucking tie needs to break over the belt. You just get some people, man.
Yeah, he was catching shit yesterday because he ordered a steak well done with a side of ketchup at like a fancy pants restaurant. And the chef, you know, was just like, is this for goddamn adult? Oh, the president. That's good. That makes me feel good.
But here's the thing. You know a lot of the people that voted for him, that's how they eat their steak.
Oh, yeah, ketchup. Why wouldn't you? Yeah, my sister came home with one once.
See, for me, the well-done part is way worse than ketchup because, hey, you know what I like on a bunch of shit? Ketchup. But for me, the well-done thing fucking ruins it more than anything.
It's like, hey, here's a nice little single malt. Give me 3 or 4 cubes of ice in that.
No, you just don't.
Yeah, my sister brought one of those home once. We got steaks from Chris's Specialty Meats. I'm not big. Like, when I get a good steak, I like a little salt, maybe olive oil, throw it on the grill. That's it. Don't fuck with it. Let the meat talk for itself.
Mm-hmm.
Chris's does their own little seasoning. They got a rub they put on it. They do good cuts of meat. If I'm going to have somebody season a steak, I'll get it from there. You take it right out of their packaging. You throw it on. It's a great steak.
Calvin's does a pretty good pre-marinated, too.
Calvin's steaks are the best steaks on earth because the 5 butchers they have a combined experience of 200 years. One of their guys graduated from Cordon Bleu, and he has been working as a butcher since he was 14. His grandfather was a butcher. He worked in his shop. They know fucking meat.
Yeah, they do.
So I'll go there, and the guy's like, what you looking to do? And I just tell him. Normally, I'm like, don't fucking worry about me. I'll tell any of those guys come out the back. If you're at Calvin's, you're looking at the meat, and some guy comes, how can I help you? He's there to help you.
Yeah, tell him what you want.
Yeah, it's like going to your doctor. Don't fucking lie. Don't be proud. Tell him you like shoving bananas up your ass. Just let him know so he can fix your deal.
I want a filet twice the size of this fist.
If they don't have it, they'll go cut it for you.
Yeah, they do.
So don't fucking lie to him. Let him do it. So we got a bunch of these ribeyes. Big, thick ribeye. Choke a goddamn cow.
Mm.
My sister brings this dude home. How do you want it? Medium well.
Did you say, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
All right. You know, okay. Medium. All right. Get it to him. You get ketchup, and it was quiet. It got real quiet at that table. And his eyebrows went up, and we were like, beg pardon? He was like, yeah, just if you got ketchup. And that was the last time he came over for dinner. Because no.
You want some ranch on your salad, too?
Yeah. The fuck?
Hey, but you know what? You know what's really good? A1 steak sauce.
It is fucking delicious.
You know what it's delicious on?
Waffle House steak.
A hamburger, a hot dog. I fucking dip tater tots in that shit. It's actually, I like barbecue. If I'm putting barbecue sauce on something, mm-hmm. you know, that's one thing. But just, if it's something like I'd normally put on ketchup, like, oh, I'm going to put a little ketchup with these scrambled eggs or whatever. Nope, A1. Tater tots, A1. We made hot dogs the other day, A1.
A1 is delicious, and it's great. 3 o'clock in the morning, Waffle House steak and eggs.
Mm-hmm.
Waffle House steak is the only steak that you can legitimately put A1 on and be okay with.
Because it's almost hamburger.
It is, and you watch the guy do it, and that's we used to have talks when I worked at restaurants. We'd have talks about like the greatest Iron Chef battles. We want you to take Morimoto versus a short order cook, and you make the ingredient eggs, and the dude's done in like 5 minutes, wins.
Yeah.
Like, by the time Morimoto gets to the judges, they're all stuffed and fat and happy, and they're just like, oh my god, scrambled eggs with cheese. Who thought? Amazing.
And you know what's fucking crazy? Like, I've watched them make scrambled eggs with cheese 1,000 times at Waffle House because it's my go-to.
Yeah.
And then I go home and I make scrambled eggs. And I even get out my little cast iron and I throw the cheese in the bottom of that and then I transfer the eggs to it. It never fucking tastes like, it's not even.
You don't have that flat top that's seasoned the fuck out of it. Like that flat top never turns off. That flat top is open 24/7. You know FEMA's Waffle House Index, right?
But I know, but they put the eggs are in the like the little frying pan,
yeah.
And they scramble them up, and then they just dump them into that cast iron pot.
You can't do that shit.
But like, I cook bacon and steaks in this cast iron constantly, and like it's fucking.
That's not what does it.
It's not even a tenth as good as the shit at Waffle House.
If you are a short order cook, it's not that. If you are a short order cook at Waffle House, you have gotten to a point where at one point you are a chef.
Yeah.
You are a goddamn chef somewhere, and then you discovered meth. And things went downhill, and then you worked at a Applebee's for a while. But meth is just so good, or crack cocaine, or prostitutes, or child pornography, whatever it is, your thing that just ruined you and made your wife and kids leave and take your house and everything until one day you got nothing but a third-hand Camry that modern teenagers would not recognize as a Camry. That's how old it is. And you're driving around sleeping in the back of it, and you see that help wanted sign in the Waffle House. Because Waffle House, 24/7, always open. If it closes, FEMA is worried. Yeah. That's how they know a bad disaster has happened. Waffle House closed. So you see that sign, and you're tweaking bad, and you need a fix. So you're like, I got to come down off this a little up, but you know what? Fuck it. Let's do this. So you go in. They say, oh, I smell it on you. You are a Waffle House garçon de cuisine. Welcome aboard. And they put the apron on you, and you go to work. Then there's no form you fill out. If you walk in and you say I can cook here, they believe you, because no sane individual walks into Waffle House and says I can do this, because you can fucking not. It is not an easy job.
No.
So if you got the balls
smack
to say
smack and flip and rub it down, like smack and flip it, rub it down, and they put like two little pieces of
hash
brown
smothered covered chunk browns. Bland.
They put like two pieces of raw hash brown on like a little plate, and then like a tiny piece of tomato. But from that, they know your entire order.
Mm-hmm. Jesus. That's the show.
It's better than hibachi.
Yeah, you go. Yeah, it's same thing as a sushi restaurant. If I go to Waffle House, I sit at the goddamn bar because that's where the show is.
If he could have made me a fucking onion volcano, then
that's the show. Is you take a guy from Kodos and a dude from Waffle House, and you say, all right, go.
See, if I think,
or tag team that shit.
I think if...
Ah, 5-minute buzzer. They start the meal. The guy from Kodos starts the meal. 5 minutes, switches over to the dude from Waffle House. You have to cook for 45 minutes.
You got
to
start with the Waffle House guy, though, because, see, I always thought the secret to the Waffle House eggs is the fact that, you know, like, I put my eggs in a bowl, mm-hmm. I take a fork or a whisk or something, and I'm popping them up. Meanwhile, at Waffle House, this guy dumps 6 eggs in a bowl and then dumps it in a fucking milkshake thing on the wall and fucking blends it like that. Everybody's like, and you watch like the professional shows, and you're like, oh, you don't want to over-whisk your eggs, you don't want to... This motherfucker put them in a 4,500 RPM shake maker.
Do you know why? Because he's broken, Sonny. He doesn't abide by their rules anymore. Society is meaningless to that man.
Like if you gave me some Waffle House scrambled eggs with cheese, and then you had John Besh make me some scrambled eggs, I would
throw
that
them in his face.
John Besh off my table. I'd be like, I'm sorry, did you not see this motherfucker from Waffle House bring me these eggs first?
And follow it up with a slice of pie. I don't know where that pie came from. I've never seen him make a goddamn pie in Waffle House. I love
just,
their chocolate cream pie.
The glass.
Yeah, always. Always.
There's 6 druids that bring it out when nobody's in the restaurant.
Dude, I saw them take the slice of pie out, and it was still there, and he put it in front of me. There was still that same damn slice of pie! I watched him grab it, and he closed the door, and it was still there! And he put me the other one.
I still think the most disappointing thing in the world is a lot of times... I hadn't been to Waffle House in forever, but whenever I used to go a lot, it was like at 5 a.m.
Mm.
And for some reason, at 5 a.m., every Waffle House is like, oh, this is when we got to clean the grill. And it's like, no, you don't. You don't have
don't
to.
Don't do it.
Hey, I don't know why you're cleaning that grill. They're like, oh, it's rules. We got to end the shift. And I was like, because, you know, 5 o'clock, like, you're just starting to get that early breakfast crew in there. That's why we got to knock it out in like 10 minutes. It's going to be 10 minutes. Like, fuck. Just give me 3 fucking waffles. Jesus.
Yeah.
Nobody. You don't fuck. Nobody comes here for the tuna sandwich. Nobody comes here for the fucking waffles. You come here for the
shit. Tuna shit. No, I go. My jam used to be I get waffles, I get a burger, I get hash browns, some other covered chunked, and a slice of pie. Because I was out of fucks.
I go in there, and it was always, I need 5 scrambled eggs with cheese, toast, Texas toast, I'm sorry, and bacon burnt. That's all I want. I don't need hash browns. I don't need waffles. I want, and they're always like, you sure you want 5 eggs? Motherfucker, yes. Look at me. I want 5 scrambled eggs with cheese.
Because our eggs come from worn-out chickens who shit coconuts. Yeah.
I want Texas toast. And when you, like, normally when you think that bacon's well done.
Give another 5.
Yeah, you just leave that shit on there. That's whenever I want you to press down on it with a spatula for, like, 30, 45 more seconds.
When it has confessed Christ as its savior and denounced Judaism, I want you to lean on it.
I want that bacon. Like, I want you to have to pick it up with 2 spatulas because it's starting to crumble into carbon dust. That's how I like my bacon. I want my steak raw. I want my fucking bacon to look like
those tiles that they fucking have on the bottom of the space shuttle. Right before it fails and everyone inside burns screaming to death.
I want my bacon to look like the last body that was retrieved from a burning building.
One hand on the doorknob.
Yeah. I want you to be able to date dinosaur bones with my bacon.
Well, Sonny, it's always good to have you along.
Damn, we've been going forever.
We have. It's a good one.
It is.
And with that, I'm Nick Moore.
Sonny.
I'm Nick Moore, and you've been dorked.
Dork around, sticks.
Motherfuckers.
So this is where we just pretend like we're chatting while the music bed comes in?
Yeah, the music comes up. And it'll see, the thing is, I never listen to it. I put the beds in. And I don't listen to it. Because I just look at where the levels are. And then I add the music at the beginning and end. So that when I listen to it, it's a surprise. Because I want to be like, oh, when's it coming? I forget. And so this will probably be going. I'm going to bet that where I'm talking right now, the music still hasn't come in.
What? Why would you wait this long for the music to come in? I feel like now I need to talk softer.
No. So the levels are going down. Look, I'm doing it loud so it holds off.
Oh, fuck.
I'm looking at it. It's got a little quiet whispery part. And then the loudest.
It's my favorite part of like the podcast that I do listen to.
Yeah.
That they do the music bed over there talking for like the last 45 seconds. Yeah. And you know, they're just like mumbling and talking shit to each other.
Well, Robert does that shit with There Can Only Be One. Is that he'll throw in music at the end. And like, I thought we were done. And he cut things off. So I was like, oh, there's not going to be any of that at the end. And what he did with the episode I was on was he recorded like 5 minutes of chatter at the beginning. We didn't realize. And he stuck that at the end. He cut it over, so it sounds like we just went off on that.
See, and what you should do, though, is, like, you need to try and time your words, or time it wherever, like, you hit the post.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the first time it's like, dork, dork, you'd be like, and I'm looking more, you've been dork, dork, dork,
dork. I could do that, but, nah.
It's no fun to do it in post-editing. You gotta, or it's no fun to do it editing after. Like, you need to have the music queued up right now, playing.
Oh.
And then, you know,
stop it right there.
Coming up after this, but first, Michael Jackson, and let's swing.
Later, folks.